This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got African goalkeeping at its best, a battle in Venice, and Newcastle have got word. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday the 12th of January. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Venetia Hunter-Raja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Right. First day back reunited, yeah. Myself and Vish since the new year. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to sabotage.
I did try and sabotage,
sabotage my intro.
Writing on the Google Docs.
Yeah, writing on the Google Docs.
Sorry, but what is pandawood?
I don't know, but panda was the first word that came to mind.
tried to ruin her little intro.
Yeah. And I think what's happened here is if I'd got it on the second line rather than the end of the first line, I reckon you would have stumbled over yourself.
Mm.
So there's really, it was an error of formatting and judgment.
Why do you not think highly of me?
I think it's just because I've spent...
Why do you not think I can just skip over your sabotaging words?
Mm. That's true. So Jules and I did a Premier League show in December where she kept... I felt she was targeting me a little bit. In right. front of Glenn Murray and Emil Heskey, I should add.
I was flirting.
Yeah. She's
with Glenn, not you.
Yeah, that's true.
By bullying someone else.
The intro was, she was like, oh, you know, here with, you know, great guests, this many Premier League goals. First question, Vish, how many have you got?
I love it. So I hope you left a prawn sandwich in the sofa. So it really honks after a while.
You also... actually humiliated yourself on TV by
the things you said and the way you look.
I said something about goalkeepers or something, and then I think you said, oh yeah, well, I'm only 5 foot something. You basically revealed to the world that you were actually a small man.
Yeah.
No one needed to know, because if my on a sofa, you can't tell.
Yeah, as if my actions can tell people that enough. But yeah, I think I said something like, oh, I wouldn't know about that. I'm only 5'7". Mm. And then you went, why have you told people that? You just sat down. Like live on air, yeah.
So, Jules, do you pretend you're like 6 foot or something?
Absolutely. Is that how you get right? You're not 5'7", Vish, by the way.
I am 5'7". What are you trying? You sure? Yeah. Well, you can't talk to me. You're 4 foot something.
You're constantly far away, Jules.
Yeah, that's true. Pete, what have you been up to for the last 24 hours? You've been busy?
I've been doing odds and sods, this and that, really, yeah. Here and there. Watching a bit of football. Watching a bit of AFCON.
Watching a bit of old football.
Old football. Oh, yeah. Do you want to get this out of the way now? So I guess this kind of explains it. Hang fire. There we go. So Matt Le Tissier, 47 career penalties for Southampton, and he missed just one. And it was this one. I just wanted to know whether Mark Crossley could do that again. So I went to Cameo.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, guys.
Yes, I am the only person to save a Matt Le Tissier penalty.
So I asked them if there was going to be another penalty taken, which way would Matt Le Tissier kick the ball and which way would Mark Crossley dive?
Penalty kick.
So if I was to take another penalty against Mark Crossley, I would go to my right and to his left.
And he went left the first time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
If I had to face him again, what would I do? My answer is, I would probably stand tall and hope that he was going to go down the middle.
Ah, so Mark was not going to be able to repeat his feat, unfortunately, from back in the day.
I'd judge him for staying in the middle, actually.
Yeah, make a decision, Mark. Maybe he's 53. Looking good
for
it. I wouldn't want to be throwing myself around at 53. Yeah, he's looking good, and they were both very, very lovely.
I wouldn't want to be 53.
Please head to Pete Donaldson's Twitter page to see that video in full, because it is absolutely brilliant when you see the pictures to go with it.
Yeah.
It tickled me.
I think it's the best use of Cameo since your previous use of Cameo.
For Sean Paul.
For Sean Paul. Well, but they both got played out on the show, so technically they're tax deductible.
Right, let's get to some recent football, because last night, you may be forgiven, unless you're a Southampton or Brentford fan, to actually not realising that Southampton versus Brentford was actually one of the Premier League games to be played last night. It's one of those matches that got postponed, so had to be rearranged. There were meant to be two games last night, but it actually only ended up being the one at St Mary's, where Southampton thrashed Brentford 4-1. That is not a scoreline that I saw coming at all. I know Southampton had recently picked up a bit of form, but still, because this is now their second win out of three games. But I don't know, I just fancied Brentford last night, but clearly I was completely wrong.
Yeah, again. it was a really weird game because Southampton actually looked quite good. Like, I've watched some...
Owner effect?
From Brentford as well. You know, well, certainly Ankerson's involvement in it. Maybe he passed them all their little clues and stuff. But the I'd never really know what to make of Southampton. They seem really... not stop-start, but like sometimes they're very good, but you know, they're really, well, I suppose inconsistent is the word I'm looking for. But they were really slick yesterday. Mm. And it might have been because Brentford were a bit off it. And obviously coming into the second half when Brentford were pushing a few men forward, there were spaces to exploit, but they exploited them so well. I was generally really surprised because of Hasenhüttl as well. I sometimes I think he's a brilliant manager and sometimes I think he's absolute trash. I mean, yesterday he was brilliant.
How do you feel about Ralf Hasenhüttl wearing a waistcoat? Because I feel like there's only one manager that was allowed to get away with that, and it was Gareth Southgate.
Gareth.
I mean, it feels odd to me, a waistcoat with just a shirt. Wear the full suit if you're going to wear the waistcoat, Ralf. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it does, unless you've got your jacket on your chair behind you, I think that's fair. But if you're just walking out in a waistcoat...
He just enjoys that look, obviously. Look, in terms of the goals, though, the game sort of got finished off in the second half because Southampton were 2-1 up going into that second half, but it was an own goal, which I thought that it was the own goal that put Southampton 2-1 up. And I felt a bit sorry for this own goal because it's just terribly unlucky, isn't it, Pete?
All own goals are a little bit unlucky.
This one was horrible. So,
yeah, it was a stinker, wasn't it?
Just coming off of the back of the goalkeeper's glove, Fish. That's just not...
Yeah, it was...
You make your own luck, don't you, Fish?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
You make your own luck.
That's what a bald bloke from the Titanic said. Real goalkeepers make their own luck.
I'm not sure how much longer Alvaro Fernandez will have in goal for Brentford, not because of that own goal, but because David Reyes back and he made a return to training in bizarre fashion, didn't he?
Yeah, he torched the training ground. It was mad. No, he turned up in a big dinosaur suit, shouting the words, "Good morning, it's me, T-Rex." Just confusing.
Very confusing.
It's basically a kid going back to school first day after Christmas and bringing all his toys in. And he clearly got given a dinosaur suit like Tino was back in the day.
Yeah. Also, like, I mean, that's fun, I suppose. But it's just like, mate, stop fucking around. We're in strife. Get in goal. Although if he was a T-Rex, he'd have smaller arms and they wouldn't have bounced off his arms into the
goal. That is very true, actually.
Something to think about, Brentford.
But obviously a lot of the talk about Brentford is the only player that people seem to be wanting to talk about for Brentford, which is, of course, Ivan Toney up top. And Rhea, his passing in that Brentford side is so important to Toney's game, to the forward line's game, because he could just deliver a 40-yard pass really, really, without even thinking about it, really. And without him, their game has had to change massively. So he couldn't have come back at a better time. And I hope that he kicks on and manages to get back in net.
Yeah, because he has been one of their better players this season, hasn't he, David Rhea? Well, it looks like he'll be back fairly soon, which is good. Are we worried for Brentford at all, or do you definitely think it's going to be three of those sort of four that are down there now?
So I anticipated there would be a dip because, you know, they're a newly promoted club. They're going to have a smaller squad. You know, it was bound to happen. But I suppose with their start, you know, it felt like, oh, right, you've kind of done a lot of that work early, so you can afford a dip. And then I think they lost four games in a row, so they completely undid that. And I was like, it's weird when you look at where they are in the table. It does seem that it looks like they're pretty comfortable. I think they're about 10 points above the relegation zone. Mm. Teams below them do have games in hand, but at the same time, because they're down there, you can't assume those to be 3 points that they'll pick up easily. So it's really hard to say. They've got their next few fixtures. They've got Liverpool, Manchester United, Wolves, Man City, Palace, Arsenal, and then they face Newcastle come the end of February, which could mean facing half of their team they have now, given the way Newcastle's are signing players. But yeah, I don't really know. I feel like they shouldn't be in that position because it seems that already we've seen that they're more than three worse teams than them.
Watford and Norwich are giving everyone a chance down
there,
aren't
exactly,
they, really?
Yeah. And then, you know, if Newcastle keep picking off players from Burnley, that would be fine. Get Tarkowski there. So it's hard to say. What I do feel is, seeing how they've been in certain games where they've lost, and certainly last night, it does feel like they might struggle almost certainly if they stay up next season. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like they'd need to find a way of, you know, bringing in some new players, getting a bit more depth, and also maybe changing their style of play, because it does feel like teams are twigging what they do.
Mm. Yeah, in terms of Southampton, as you say, Vish, they looked really slick last night. Good goals as well that they scored. And it was the first time they'd scored four goals in the Premier League since 2017. And that was their biggest victory of the season so far. So certainly a good 3 points for them, which took them above Brentford in the Premier League table. Ralph Hasenhüttl has been fairly vocal recently, though, about players, whether they should be able to play in the fixtures that have been postponed if they're new signings.
Yeah.
So, for example, Kieran Trippier shouldn't be able to play in any of Newcastle's games that were postponed from previous to his signing. What are your thoughts on that, Pete?
I have a vested interest in that. Now, I mean, it sets a precedent that things get postponed all the time for a million different reasons. It's not just COVID and stuff. It's for other reasons. And I think it would set a precedent that is completely unworkable and confusing and hard to. But then it would be more fun and spicier.
It does add a
bit of spice. It does have a point, and it would be spicier and more interesting, wouldn't it?
But I understand what you're saying. It would it would be really difficult to kind of organise and manage that.
But do you remember, loads of matches get postponed because of icy pavements outside the ground's fine and the grass is fine. There's an icy pavement. Put some salt down, Middlesbrough. You pricks.
I kind of agree with him because I feel, yeah, like I suppose in the
big squad Barry over there, Man United.
I just want to excuse not to play some of our players. But the I suppose when you think about it from one side, it's the Newcastle team they're talking about, where they, you know, the team that they have in the middle of December is very different to the team they're going to have at the end of January or into February when they replay those games.
Nobody likes us anymore.
I don't know if anyone ever did.
No.
But the flip side would be then, I suppose, that a team...
Did you even like them before?
No, I think I've made it very clear for 10 years on this fucking show, yeah.
But I suppose, let's take the example of Chris Wood. If Burnley then sign a replacement striker and then they can't play him in February, that's a bit... You know, I suppose that's the precedent that Pete was alluding to there. So it's pretty difficult to enforce. I understand where Hasenhüttl's coming from, but the knock-on effect is the team that's been post who need to replace that player.
Mm. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Newcastle's next potential signing, which we expect to go through probably while we are recording this. Chris Wood having his medical today at
Newcastle.
Oh,
he's a big lad. Isn't he a big lad?
Your thoughts on this signing?
He's a big lad. Big lad.
Do you think for his medical they had to basically get him into a bath so they could measure the displacement of the water? He is a big lad. See?
Big lad. The biggest.
Look, they obviously need a striker. That's obvious because Callum Wilson is out injured for what is it? Probably another 8 weeks. They're saying. There's a potential where you could play Alan St-Maximin down the middle, but that's not where he's going to be most effective.
Nobody wants that.
And ultimately, you need to get a striker to... Because Callum Wilson isn't a player that stays fit for a whole season anyway, so you're always going to need a replacement. This, to me, looks a little bit short-termist. It doesn't look like this is a signing that Newcastle are looking to the future, but are you okay with that for now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Newcastle... Some of my favourite players have been Antoine Sibierski's and... And players like Kevin Nolan weren't signed for the future, you know what I mean? Peter Lovenkrantz. Yeah, they're cracking players who come in, do a job. And when you've got a really, really good deliverer of the ball like Kieran Trippier and a couple of others in the side, we have been wanting with our headers. Like, I mean, our number seven's been doing the best he can, but he's not great at getting that ball in the net from his head. So, look, I think it's a solid signing. I think it's, like you said, it's not really one for the future. It's not your marquee kind of Rubinho kind of new world signings. But look, and it like Vish said, it weakens one of our main relegation rivals. And I'm very, very interested to see how this how the negotiations for Tarkowski is going to go after that.
Well,
you're not having him.
It's clever from Newcastle in that sense to be picking off players from the teams around you, which is actually what Manchester City did when they got their new ownership in and they got all their money. It's kind of the tactic that they used, albeit it was a little bit further up the table. But in terms of Burnley, this is so damaging for them because that, you know, he's one of their main strikers there. So what do they now do? Because Sean Dyche is apparently livid and you can just imagine how this news was taken. But I mean, it looks like it's pretty much done now.
And for both sides, he'd be a great Championship striker as well. So,
yeah, when Burnley get relegated, Newcastle can loan him back to him because they'll be done with Chris Wood, won't they? Yeah, it's a fascinating dynamic down there, isn't
it? Step up Ashley Barnes.
Yeah.
The stage is yours on your own.
But him and Barnes and Wood always seem to me to come as a double act. So he might be feeling a bit lonely now. And also, they're in a massive bit of strife for the next month or so because obviously Cornet's not there because he's at AFCON.
Yeah.
Wood was so integral to what they did that I don't think he got enough credit for how he was in the box, but primarily in terms of their outlet when they're hanging back quite low is him, and having him win headers and hold up the ball and allow everyone else to come in there. He had a good relationship with Dwight McNeil as well. So yeah, this really does have a detrimental effect on all aspects of their team. So I don't really, I mean, I'm probably being a bit crude here, but I was trying to think of, oh God, who would they sign to replace him? And I just started thinking about trees.
Sign a big tricky tree.
Yeah, or like a statue. Get the Coulson statue, stick him on there on the plinth. Yeah, get him up top.
I know firsthand just how good Chris Wood can be because, of course, he played for Brighton. He was on loan at Brighton in 2010, 2011, I think it was. And look, he's a great scorer of goals. He is aging now, he's not the youngest, but he does bring that Premier League experience, which I think a lot of when you hear pundits talk about who Newcastle need to sign, it's been all about having players that are up to speed in the Premier League.
And when it's not time to take risks, is it?
Yeah, but when you think about the defence, that is obviously where you need the help, probably more so because Trippier on his own isn't going to make a difference to that defence, Pete. But now that Burnley have lost Chris Wood, it probably looks less likely you're going to get Tarkowski, right?
I would say that would make that politically not as fun for Burnley set up because you don't want angry Sean Dyche. But look, I mean, Burnley...
I'd quite like angry Sean Dyche a bit more because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Big warm in the snow, Sean Dyche. Yeah, I think with Burnley, with the 16 goals, second lowest in the league. I mean, Newcastle have actually scored more than them. So it's not as if like Woods was tearing up the league down there anyway and staving off survival. It was very much their defence that have, prevented them from being right at the bottom, Burnley. But you don't get much value in January at the best of times. And when you are in Newcastle's position, you have to kind of you have to be sensible with your signings, and that's something that's been levelled at our manager on more than one occasion, that he doesn't sign very well. I happen to think the first two signings have been really bloody good and really sensible and solid signings. So
12 days in, Newcastle have made their moves already, so it's not looking too bad. Let's talk about a former Newcastle striker, Andy Carroll, who scored a couple of amazing goals last night.
Heartbreaking.
Unfortunately, they did not stand because they were both offside. Reading, who he currently plays for, lost 7-0 at home at the Medeski against Fulham. But Andy Carroll scored these two brilliant goals. The first one was a bicycle kick and he was offside. The second one, he comes from an offside position, chests it down and volleys it. And it is an unbelievable goal. And it's such a shame that he came from an offside position, because two great finishes.
Two great finishes that you only have so many of in your lifetime. Like, obviously, he scored that brilliant bicycle kick against, for West Ham. I remember he used to score brilliant volleys early on for Newcastle as well. And it's got a great goal against Man City, I think, for Liverpool. But yeah, the idea that like they were both ruled out in the same game. I don't know what the time between them was. And the fact that Reading went on to lose 7-0.
Oh, no.
He's only on a grand a week with bonuses. If he had those both, he would have probably got a goal bonus.
Imagine if he had a worldie bonus. Yes. It's like, for fuck's sake, two in a game. Reading are in a real dire strait, aren't they?
Their struggling.
Ownership is an absolute shambles. And
points deductions, all sorts of stuff that they've got to battle with off the pitch.
Didn't need 7-0, did they?
They didn't.
No.
You've played at the Medeski, Pete, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've sprained my ankle and had to go for a bath.
After how long?
About half an hour. No, 20 minutes.
How did you sprain your ankle on a lovely pitch like that?
It was pretty cut up at that point.
Was it?
Nobody likes that pitch. It's rubbish.
Did you curse it?
Yeah, probably. I know someone, my mate, broke his leg at Arsenal's stadium. That's strong. For like a little five-a-side match, he broke his leg. He was out for such a long time, bless him. Poor Daniel.
As for Fulham, by the way, braces for Alexander Mitrovic and Harry Wilson as well.
You meant braces and teeth braces.
This is a football podcast. Yeah. Mitrovic continues to add to his goal tally. What a season he's having. Also, in League One last night, there were a few other football league games, League One and League Two. Chris Maguire scored a hat-trick, and it was for Lincoln against his former club, Sunderland. And it's shithousery at its absolute finest, isn't it, Vish? Because he got released from Sunderland by Lee Johnson, and he scores a hat-trick in the game, but after his first goal, he goes over, he does a muted celebration and just sort of stands in front of the manager.
He does a muted celebration and then runs in front of Lee Johnson.
Know.
But it's a way that he was like, I want to make sure this is not against the fans.
Yeah.
So he was like, still love all of you. It's him I've got a problem with.
And the thing that gets me is because he scores that many goals in the match, that really twists the knife into the manager. And if people are going to get on the manager's back, that's like, look, you got rid of him and look, he scored three. And fans are exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. Oh, wow.
I'd do that. That's the sort of thing I'd do as a player.
Would you?
100%.
Would you go and swing for the manager?
You're chaotic evil. It's been decided.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about AFCON. There's a battle in Venice that you have to hear about as well. And it's also a Wednesday, which means it's Pep Talks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
...2021 was a year like no other in European football.
And 2022 promises to be even more eventful.
On the Continent is your weekly guide to all the biggest stories across Europe.
What was highlighted again in this game against Malmo was just how desperately that team needs something different up front. Alvaro Morata is not right now the number nine they need, and I don't think Moise Kean is either.
We're joined by the best European football experts to get to the bottom of the stories at the top of your newsfeed.
I think Real Madrid is a very logical place for him to go. And if you want that to be an option, it's not a bad idea to make Real Madrid think that you might go to Barcelona. But from Haaland's side of it, it's very beneficial that Barcelona are at least pretending they can afford him.
Come join us every Thursday on Football Ramble Presents.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Are you going to hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Jurgen. Just your thoughts on how Villa lined up today and how Villa played. I'm the opposition reporter. Just your take on Villa today for me, please.
Sorry. What?
Oh, brilliant stuff. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It is Wednesday, guys, so it is time for Pep Talks.
We are so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink wine and relax!
Does he say drink wine, relax?
Does he?
Does he?
Should we play it again?
Yeah,
should we have another listen?
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
The bit at the end.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We're so happy. I'm so happy, believe me. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink wine and relax!
worst sommelier in Manchester.
Drink wine, relax!
I just asked how the Rioja was.
Water, I think, is what he said. Water.
Pretty sure he's saying wine. Yeah.
Drink wine, relax.
I wish it was wine. It would make football way more fun if they were all pissed. Yeah.
It certainly would. Sort our defence. From James, I'm sick of VAR to the point where any game I watch, I just have to get up and do something else. Traditionally, go in the kitchen to make a cup of tea would suffice, but after Monday's 3.5 minute wait at Old Trafford, I had far too much time to make a cup of tea. What else can I achieve in that space of time? Learn an instrument, learn a new language.
I hung my washing.
In that interval, yeah. I switched over to Now TV to finish the episode of 30 Rock I was watching. That is no word of a lie.
A lie,
yeah.
Right.
Because it took so long and I was like, they're not going to solve it and they're going to rule it out. Yeah. So, because they're clearly looking, as Luke said yesterday, it felt like they were looking for a reason to rule it out. But I just switched over, yeah.
You used to be able to play like FIFA matches for like 2 minutes. And that went out the window with all the online stuff. Like, you used to be able to play like 2 minute FIFA matches. They were great little.
Do you know what the worst thing? Oh, I'm sorry, we're going a bit off tangent from this email, but it happens a bit in the Indian Premier League in the cricket where they have these enforced delays, like a timeout, and they advertise in them.
Right.
And generally during that break, I was like, I reckon in another country there's a little advert popping up.
Yeah.
You know how like in Europe sometimes it pops up and on the side.
Don't give football
in the
ideas
US.
Like
no,
that.
No, but I reckon that's exactly what they're going to do.
Have like an AR kind of halftime entertainment, but the VAR. Augmented reality, VAR.
Yeah.
Entertainment. Just have like a hologram or something dancing around.
Oh, yeah. You could have like multiple choice. Is it a goal? And then you get to choose and
that.
Vote.
Choose your adventure. Yeah.
Make it interesting for us.
Yeah. Like Big Brother. Oh, that's what they should do with VAR.
What?
What, have the manager go to the diary room?
You have to choose. You get to vote.
Yeah.
Whether it's a goal or not.
Yeah.
And it actually makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal would win the league, wouldn't they? All their fans on social media.
Oh.
Burnley would already be relegated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So would Newcastle. what else we got, Vish?
I've got an email from Tom. Can the panel please provide any advice on how to follow through on a New Year's resolution? After last week's chat about Cameo, it briefly crossed my mind to get an ex-footballer to give me some words of motivation, which I could repeat on loop. Who should I choose for this task?
First of all, just don't make a New Year's resolution, then you can't fail. That's my tip.
It's true, yeah.
If you want to,
I don't have one.
Just try and be better, mate. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Straighten up, fly right.
All right, Molly May.
So we all get 24 hours in the day, Jules. You know, some of us choose to use it badly. If you want Mark Crossley, by the way, on Cameo, he's not listed as Mark Crossley. He's just listed as Mark. He thinks he can be found like that.
Oh, seriously?
I managed to find him because I knew who Mark Crossley was. But he really needs to sort that out.
He's just listed as Mark.
Like Ronaldinho or something.
Do you reckon he gets a lot of like Wahlbergs?
Yes.
Strays, yeah.
All right, so who's quite a motivational person that he could fight? What about Neil Warnock?
I was thinking Neil Warnock as well. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's telepathic.
I was thinking like,
I think we're better off out of it actually.
So some people, it depends what you respond to, doesn't it? Like if you need tough love, obviously Roy Keane.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Although he might make you feel worse, won't he? Like what he said on the weekend.
Negging,
that,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you don't need that at the start of the year.
He'd just make me laugh too much. I wouldn't take it seriously.
Klopp would be good.
Klopp would be good.
Klopp would be expensive.
Glasses or non-glasses. Post-glasses?
Glasses.
I think he's
no
more
glasses.
Intimidating with glasses.
No glasses, old teeth.
Ah.
Let's do it like that. Remember pre-teeth?
Can request this?
So he's squinting and a bit gnarly. when he was at his most Wurzel Gummidge stage.
You've had recent relations with
Matt
Letizia.
I beg your pardon.
Matt
Letizia. No vaccine for love.
Do you reckon he'd be motivational?
He was he gets a lot of kicks for varying weird reasons that we didn't really imagine would be happening in 2022. But he was very nice on Cameo. But,
good.
Yeah.
Can you be rude on Cameo though? Because there's no interaction, is there?
I guess not. But you would imagine that if he's people with strong sub-political ideas will find any reason to kind of like explain them, wouldn't he? But he didn't. He didn't. He kept it clean.
Did he try and sell you brain pills?
Sorry,
like Alex Jones.
Oh, goodness me. Remember, every Wednesday, if you've got any kind of problem or dilemma for us, as Tom called us, the panel.
Yeah,
I like that.
We will we'll try and solve them for you. So get them into us every Wednesday, Pep Talks, show at footballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble. Right, let's touch on the African Cup of Nations. It got underway a couple of days ago now. And last night, a couple of matches. First of all, the holders, Algeria, actually were held by Sierra Leone, which is quite a surprise because Algeria are probably the favourites to go on and win the competition with all of the players they've got, like Riyad Mahrez, etc. And yeah, it ended up a goalless draw that match. It was the first time that Algeria failed to score in a game in 36 matches. So fair play to Sierra Leone. And I think that it's pretty much down to the heroics of goalkeeper Mohamed Camara, who, I mean, in fairness, it was quite a bizarre goalkeeping performance, but extraordinarily good at the same time.
It was loosey-goosey. It was full-blooded. And he didn't let any goals in, so well done him.
It was amazing.
He was making saves on the edge of his box.
He's making slide tackles. He took one to his chest and he had his face to the goal. Like he sort of ran towards his own goal and sort of caught it. I was like, Jesus, that's risky.
He was so chill, but also after every save, he'd sprawl out on the floor. Like he was a proper drama queen as well.
You love to see it. My favourite was the one where he came out of his own box and headed the ball away. Like there was absolutely no need for it. It was amazing.
I feel like the defenders were covering that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Proper 90s mad keeper. Love it.
It was excellent to see. Yeah, I had a lot of time for that. He also cried when he received his Man of the Match trophy after the game.
That's what I'm saying, drama queen.
I want to see more of this. So I looked into it a little bit. He plays in Sierra Leone for his club team are called East End Lions. Which also sounds dramatic.
It does. It does sound very dramatic. Like he's a team full of gangsters. Maybe that's why he's got to do everything. He's the guy who has to bury the bodies. you know, transport the money.
I know what it was. He just wanted to stand out from the rest of his squad because he was actually one of six players in the Sierra Leone team with the surname Kamara. He was like, hey, you need to remember me. I'm the one.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to get mentioned on the Football Ramble.
He's in red. He was in a different colour top.
Yeah, that's true. Very
I'm
true.
I'm telling you, drama queen.
Yeah. Good, you love to see it. Also, Nigeria beat Egypt by 1-0. Egypt kicking off their campaign with that defeat. And it was thanks to an Iheanacho worldie. Great finish, this one, wasn't it?
I didn't think he had enough space to do what he did.
Mm. Yeah.
He was like chesting it away from goal and then like swiveled and volleyed it in the top corner. And Egypt were really deep and quite cluttered. But yeah, what a goal. The idea that he was like outshining Mo Salah as well was pretty cool. You know, sometimes you get that in tournaments where it's not about how they are at their club teams, it's how they fit into their international system.
And no one's learned from Argentina, have they? So you've got a manager who did some good work with Iran and he makes teams quite hard to sort of break down, but you get a goal against them, they're not going to chase you. They're too stodgy. I'd say stodgy all the time, but Mo Salah, he's a very, very good footballer, but he's only one man.
Yeah. I thought they were quite disappointing, actually. Mm.
Did you? Yeah, Egypt as a whole.
Not the country, no. I've never been. I wouldn't want to pass judgment. Lovely pyramids.
Yeah, big cat.
Big cat without a nose. Mm. But they should fix that, shouldn't they? Yeah. Actually, if they come to think of it. But yeah, maybe because you buy into, you know, looking at the players on paper and think, right, okay, I could see how this fits together. But yeah, they're really disappointing. The fact Mo Salah's always going to be isolated, I suppose, when he's on the right and you don't see much of the ball. That's fine. Mm. He's not exactly the kind of player that comes deep to get in the action in the way that Iheanacho did yesterday, actually. But yeah, just really, really stodgy, really, well, as Pete said, but also like actually quite boring to watch. Mm.
I wonder whether, in terms of Iheanacho, maybe having a bit of form in this tournament could do him the world of good because he's been a little bit in and out of that Leicester team this season. And now with Jamie Vardy's injury, he's out for a few weeks, maybe on his return, because, you know, if they go all the way, I think they miss maybe three or four Premier League matches. So by the time Iheanacho returns to the Premier League, you know, Jamie Vardy's still not going to be fit. And obviously Leicester have got Patson Daka. They could do with, you know, having a few players in form. James Maddison seems to have hit a bit of a purple patch lately. But this could do well for Iheanacho, you know, because he's one of those players, I think, that the more he plays, the better he is. He's not one of those that he can just sort of come in and out. If that makes sense.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah, he definitely needs to run a game. But I think we've seen that this season, haven't we? I certainly think he's been one of their better players, one of the more reliable players until Maddison came into, as you said, like this rich vein of form.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be quite cool. Like, Nigeria is such a talented team, and it feels like, you know, reading up about like what some Nigerian supporters are thinking is they're really worried that they don't quite get the right balance. So obviously, like, Dennis is not there.
Yeah.
Osimhen from Napoli isn't there. And so there was a sense that, right, shit, we're going to, you know, Ahmed Musa is someone who, former Leicester City, someone who comes up, who gets a lot of stick for being a bit too one-dimensional. But he didn't start the other day. Iwobi didn't start. And it still feels like they've got enough to push them on, yeah.
Did I read that Osimhen has been linked with Chelsea? Move to Chelsea, potentially?
Well, he's certainly someone who is, his name always features in those little, linked to so-and-so. But I think, you know, depending on how it pans out, I think he could do a really good job next to Chris Wood.
You'd like to see that, Pete, wouldn't you? All right, a little bit on Mo Salah very quickly, because he mentioned his contract in an interview with Sky Sports. I believe the interview was with Patrick Davison, where he basically he smiled quite a lot throughout this interview, and it felt a little bit awkward at times because you could see that there was stuff he wanted to say. He didn't feel like he could say it. But ultimately, I think one of the quotes to come out of the interview that Liverpool fans will have been delighted to hear is he basically said, I can't see myself playing or scoring against Liverpool. Mm. Now, as a supporter of that club, that's exactly what you want to hear, albeit it's still dragging on this kind of re-signing of his contract.
Yeah, he did say, unless I'm playing for Real Madrid in the European Super League.
Look, this is it's going to get done, isn't it?
I mean, I assume so, yeah. I suppose there's two different things here, aren't there? There is his love of the club and specifically the fans and playing at Anfield and playing under Klopp. And then there's the other side of it, which is wanting the hierarchy to show that they value him as much as he feels he should be valued. Mm. And those two things aren't necessarily independent of each other, but they are in terms of how they get sorted out, because one will never change and the other is apparently still up for debate. I don't. So it's not a factor of. It's not a number, is it? Or rather, any number that is quoted to him that he turns down, to the rest of us, is like, that's an astonishing amount of money. But for him, it might be, for him and his people, I should say, it might be a case of like, I'm the most important player, therefore I should be reflected in this.
Yeah.
And if Liverpool have a structure in place that they need to change, then they have to work around that. Because it has a knock-on effect on Mane, it has a knock-on effect on Firmino to an extent, maybe Jota coming through as well, Van Dijk, so, and Alisson as well. So I suppose it's, then if they make one change for him, they've, the knock-on effect is six other players that they've got to, I suppose, make happy again. As
I would balk at the demands and send him to Roma again.
Yes.
Put him on loan.
Go back to Baal.
Go to
Switzerland. Go back to neutral territory.
Well, speaking of Italy, actually, Pete, we liked this from last weekend. We love a bit of rivalry between fans, but I think these guys maybe took it one step too far.
Maybe. The title of this section is Naval Warfare. Maybe they took it too far.
Maybe we're exaggerating or not. I mean, look, this was a battle in Venice that you must seek out and have a look at if you haven't seen it yet. So basically, Milan's away game at Venezia, you can ferry to the stadium in Venice. Mm. And two sets of fans decided to board two boats or two ferries, and then they aimed fireworks and all sorts of stuff at each other. And it literally was a battle on the sea between the two sets of fans.
I know the Italian Navy have a terrible reputation for not being very good, but are we sure it wasn't them?
I mean, I was genuinely, even though I knew nothing happened to the people on the boats.
Yeah.
I was actually worried watching it because it just looked like it was going to sink because it was just covered in smoke.
Yeah. Was it a ferry? It wasn't a gondola.
No, it wasn't a gondola.
A gondola would be jokes.
Not the guy's stripy hat off. Or is this just it's a stripy man with a normal hat, isn't it? Strong
stripy man.
Stripy man.
I've never been to Venice on a gondola. Have you?
No, neither have I.
Yeah. I went on a plane. No, I'd never been to Venice. No. Just for a joke.
Yeah.
Apparently it's one of the places that, you know, with rising sea levels will be the first to go under. So yeah. Check it out while you can.
Also apparently smells of egg. Because of the sewage there. Well,
yeah, so during the summer, there can be issues with the rubbish and it smells a lot. But apparently it's a really romantic place. Full of war.
Yeah, one of my best friends got engaged over there. It looked lovely.
Well, presumably they pointed their fireworks in the sky.
How did they, with like a flooded city, how do you do sewage? Because obviously you presumably have sewage pipes that are underwater, no? You're basically, because the poo's going to end up in the water somehow. So why do you? So you're basically, the poo is like getting escorted off the premises out of the city underwater, already underwater, just to end up in some more water.
I've seen a floating poo before, and it's weird. Like in the
what
sea.
Do you mean?
I've been on
with Jules doing a poo.
No, I've been on holiday before, and in the sea, like I've just been swimming, and then there's just a shit next to me.
Wow.
Yeah. Someone had
sunglasses on.
A proper dump in the sea.
My dad saw
like a big one as well.
My dad saw a
floater.
My dad saw in Hartlepool, it was a cracked sewage pipe, and my dad saw a seagull eat an entire poo out of it.
So I'm just so 37
just for the edit for
37
edit,
to 38 edit, million. Yeah. If Venice Tourism Board want to use this, that's where it is.
Or Hartlepool.
Yeah. Bit of football tonight. Let's move on from.
I'm not eating shit. Spurs are playing.
Oh, Tottenham against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup.
We like Carabao.
We love Carabao.
We like puppies.
Someone's going to send shit to the office. You talk about it so much, aren't they?
To be fair, Pablo, my dog, when I brought him in, he had a shit in the office.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Bless him.
Satire.
I think we had someone in for work experience.
They did a shit.
No, they.
We didn't make
Pablo's
the work.
Poo.
Let's make up that.
You've got this
we did
really...
not make the work experience pick up your dog's poo. We would never have allowed it. I of course threw it out the window.
Yeah, that's a smart thing to do. You have this facade of like, you know, being really engaging, really elegant, but you're actually like, not just down to earth, but you're actually a proper rotter, aren't you?
She revels in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're one of the worst people I know.
Thank you. That's such a lovely compliment.
Anytime.
Right, back to Spurs-Chelsea. Tottenham 2-0 down after those two wonderful own goals in the first leg against Chelsea. Look, I still think Spurs have got a chance in this game.
They are so lucky that it's only 2-0.
So lucky. I mean, how Chelsea didn't finish the game off. I think it was Ziyech who said after the first leg, we just didn't manage to finish the game off. I don't know how we didn't manage to do it. And they didn't. And I think they'll be kicking themselves heading into this. The only thing I will say is if Chelsea get an early goal,
yeah,
then it's pretty much done, right? So Spurs need to score first. It sounds obvious to say it, but they do. They need to have a really good start to this game. Sonny's injured. That's a big loss for them.
Huge. He was... The way Chelsea played it at the end of that game, it was almost like they thought it was a Premier League game. You know, where like, it doesn't really matter if you've missed chances because you're going to win it anyway.
True.
But they've also got Thiago Silva and Kante coming back and they missed that first leg. So they'll be reinforced that way. Lukaku got a goal on the weekend and it feels like all that nonsense is behind him. So, I mean, I fancy Chelsea to probably win this 2-0 as well.
What do you think, Pete?
Well, look, Ziyech can't get a game for Morocco, so he can have a game here.
Also tonight in the Premier League, West Ham play Norwich, another one of those rearranged matches that have to be postponed. I've got a couple of West Ham players in my fantasy team. Double game week,
lovely.
Well, I've got Jared Bowen captain, so I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that one later. And Antonio in my team as well. How are your fantasy teams doing, boys?
I didn't do one.
Someone said that I have a ghost team with no players that are even in contention for football matches at the moment. And I was very close to being bottom of the entire UK recently. So I'm close at the bottom than I am the top.
You just picked all the AFCON players, haven't you?
Quite an achievement, that,
yeah,
Pete.
It's not bad, is it?
Nice.
How do you do it year after year? It's so annoying.
How do I do it?
So we got the link to people, like, oh, you know, join for the Football Ramble one. And I thought, you know what? I just don't need that much more stress in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it is stressful, but it's enjoyable.
It somehow makes you a worse person.
What is this? We started this hour with Vish sabotaging me and we ended it with Vish sabotaging me as well.
I'm just saying.
And you know what? I loved it.
I missed this. We didn't get enough of it in 2020.
Right, if you enjoyed the show, guys, remember you can drop us a little rating on Apple and now on Spotify as well. It means a lot to us and we'd love you to do that. So please do. And thanks, as always, for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Tomorrow, Pete, you're back.
I am.
You're here with Jimbo and Marcus. I'm sure Marcus will shoehorn in that 7-0 win for Fulham again.
Oh, yeah, probably, no doubt. Yeah.
Any excuse. No doubt. But can you blame him, really? So those guys are back tomorrow. Make sure you check it out and we'll see you again soon. You're a dick, Vish.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.